Stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live. But first, I'd like to tell you about Denver Bible Church. Hey, I am Pastor Bob Enyart. I get to pastor Denver Bible Church. It's so much fun. And last night was Sunday night here in Denver. We had our weekly Sunday night Bible study. And we had a young guy there who had questions about the Bible, and he'd gone to church for many years. And he was just so excited about what he learned, and I'd like to let you in on it. We talked about, in the Bible study, we talked about two constellations, the Belt of Orion and the Pleiades. The Belt of Orion and the Pleiades. Now, what are you doing in a Bible study talking about astronomy? Well, it's interesting that the Belt of Orion has three stars in it, and those three stars, they're all traveling in different directions and at different speeds. And that's somewhat normal. You know, stars, they do their own thing. Unless they are gravitationally bound, then they'd have to all move together. And so we talked about the cluster of the Pleiades, where an astronomer from the United States Naval Observatory says, Isabel Lewis, that so far they've identified 250 stars in that cluster, and that they're all going in the same direction. They're all sharing the same motion, moving at the same speed. And that's pretty neat. And so the cluster of the Pleiades, those stars are all gravitationally bound. So they're all doing the same thing. Whereas the Belt of Orion, the three stars in Orion, they're all moving in opposite directions or different directions. And eventually the belt will be loosed. It won't be a belt anymore. Well, Job chapter 38, verse 31, the oldest book in the Bible, written before Moses wrote the book of Genesis, Job 38, 31, God is speaking to Job. And Job was getting a bit, well, maybe a bit egotistical, and God wanted to put him in his place. And so God said to Job, Job 38, 31, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? Now, that was written way before we had the Hubble telescope in orbit, way before we had spectrometers to analyze light beams coming to us from the stars. Way before we had an astrophysicist, we had the Bible. And the book of Job was written in Hebrew. 2 centuries before Christ, it was translated into Greek in the Septuagint. It's been translated into hundreds of languages. And here we have, from 4,000 years ago, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? How did the author of that book know to describe those two constellations accurately? That's just amazing. A Dr. Robert J. Trumpler of the Lick Observatory has said that Job chapter 38, verse 31, is actually a true statement that the Pleiades are bound and the belt of Orion is being loosed. That is so neat. And then if you go on the internet and look at our solar system and some software model of the solar system, and you zoom into the Earth and the moon, you see the sun in the background, and you see the Earth is just hanging on nothing. It's just suspended in empty space. And Job chapter 26, verse 7, God stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. Wow, that's when the pagan Greeks thought the earth was on the back of a tortoise. And what was the tortoise on? Well, don't worry about it. It's turtles all the way down. Hey, God created the universe, and he's given us this book, the Bible. This is Bob Enyart for Denver Bible Church.
Service with the wind.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, it seems to me that the debate at theologyonline.com, the Battle Royale 7, where I get to debate an atheist, Zakith, on the question of does God exist? And Zakith has posted thousands of times on this website, and I'm just an occasional visitor. But it seems to me we've generated a lot of interest. So I've asked the moderator, Knight is his name at Theology Online, to come on to the show. Knight, how are you doing?
Doing great. How you doing, Bob?
I am having such a good time, Eric, with this debate.
Good.
I thought I'd have you on, ask you to explain to us what's going on, Theology Online. Are things going as you expected? And just give us your opinion.
This is just fantastic so far. I mean, the response that we have to this point is just great. I mean, already we've had more views of this battle than any other battle that we've ever had, and we're only to round two. So
we're up to round two.
That's pretty exciting.
And there are about, in the grandstands, there are about 700 posts.
Right, yeah.
Which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, and 679.
679. So
getting close to 700 posts there, just talking about the battle.
About the battle by round two.
Right.
And what I wanted to do during the show, of course, people could call in at 1-800-836-9278. But with this debate with an atheist, maybe once you hang up, I'll actually go through the latest parts of the debate.
Good. Okay.
With the audience, see what people think about it.
Yeah.
But so as far as you know, everything is go, everything is strong.
Yeah, everything's strong. In fact, today we just today we put up the latest polls to see who's, you know, how people think the battle is going. There's hasn't been a whole lot of votes yet, but right now, after who do you think is winning Battle Royale 7, after two rounds, 70% say it's Bob.
Whoa.
5% say it's Zakith.
Yeah.
And 23% say it's a little too early to tell.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So that's kind of. And then in the battle talk area, that's where people debate the battle.
You mean in the grandstands?
Right, in the grandstands.
Yeah.
You know, you got people from both sides. Mm-hmm. You got your anti-Bob people, like Arian and Purex and Stratnerd and Flipper, and we got Hilston, who thinks that you're presenting an unbiblical argument because you're asking Zakath for a defense.
And Hilston is a Christian.
Yeah.
He's a Christian, but
he's a neat guy. He put some great cartoons up in our little cartoon section on Theology Online. His cartoons are absolutely hilarious, and he's an awesome artist.
Yeah, and right, he's a strong Christian, and he holds to what they call it presuppositionalism.
Yeah,
and you know what he should do one of these days? He sent me a long email ages ago on his. He thinks that it's really wrong to argue with someone, an atheist, and to argue based on evidence for God.
Yeah.
He thinks you shouldn't do that, apparently.
There's been some great rebuttals to his argument as well already.
Well, you know what? Yeah. And right, on Theology Online. And what he should do maybe is I sent him a pretty long response to his long email he sent me. A line-by-line reactions, and he should post that.
Yeah.
He probably still has it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah. And then on the pro-Bob side, you got guys like Lion and Freak, Ty Porter and One-Eyed Jack and Whole Armor and Apologetic Jedi and Turbo and Erodo and Goose, those guys, just to mention a few names.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll be glad to hear their name out on the air.
Yeah, that sounds great. And okay, now, with the poll, how do you find the poll? How do you vote?
It's on the homepage. There's a, off to your right, about, say, midway down on the right-hand side, there's a little...
You mean on the Theology Online homepage?
Yeah,
on the
theologyonline.com homepage.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. And, of course, I can't vote for myself.
Well, you could.
Well, I shouldn't.
But, you know, you and Zaketh would just equal each other out. You'd neutralize each other.
Yeah, I'll abstain.
I think the only person who's voted against you that was admitted it was Hilston. So we'll see
and
how
he's
that...
the Christian.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So at any rate, yeah, you know, in Romans 1, where we read that the evidence for God is clearly seen
right.
in the things that are made, in mm-hmm. the creation. And it seems that since God inspired Paul to go ahead and put that in the Bible, that it's a really good idea for Christians to use the evidence for God that's in the creation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And here it is right here. Oh, I got to do a warning. Okay. Warning, warning, warning. Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Just so interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Is evident in them. Evidence. So, all right.
But the battle itself.
Yeah.
Is just really exciting, don't you think?
Well, I think Zaketh, for starting out his first post, I was thrilled with his post because it started out wide open. He said, how do you define God, and what evidence do you have that your God, the God you defined, exists?
Yeah.
And I was just tickled pink that he gave me the opportunity to really steer the debate. And so we've been running with it ever since. I think he's definitely in a respondent mode,
mm-hmm.
and he's thankfully I've been able to take the offense,
right.
And so now he has to he's got to defend his position, and I think that's going to be pretty hard.
Yeah, it'll be tough.
That'll be tough.
But of course, I have to stay somewhat neutral, you know. So
yeah, yeah.
I don't want to throw the battle.
Yeah, you're the moderator,
right?
So. All right. Well, hey, I want to thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
For hosting
I want to thank you.
This.
Yeah. Well, thank you and Zaketh for doing this. It's a lot of work.
So it is a lot of work, I'll tell you that. And anybody out there on the web can check out the debate, right? How do they do that?
They just go to www.theologyonline.com, and there's a big banner right at the very front of the homepage. It says, click here for Battle Royale 7.
All right. Thank you, Eric, so much.
Thank
and we
you, Bob.
Will be, you're welcome. We'll be back after this. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. And I'd like to give out our call-in number because it's also our order line. The same number. And what's handy about that is as you're living out your week, you may come across some issue, some Bible question, and want some information on it. Maybe you're in a debate, just a question. Let's say it's divorce and remarriage, and somebody you know is dealing with those difficult questions. Well, we have a video called The Bible, Divorce, and Remarriage. And everything we have, all our materials, come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Now, that doesn't mean we want you to watch the video and then send it back for your money back. No, we wouldn't like that. That means if you're unhappy with it, for any reason, money-back guarantee. And so there's an opportunity for you to, on what question? Evolution, creation, atheism? We've got a video called Confronting an Atheist. In another Bob Debates Evolution. How about public policy issues? Well, we've got Bob Debates, an ACLU leader, and that's on whether or not Christian influence should be in the government, whether or not Christians should govern, or atheists. or liberals? Pretty interesting. That video, in fact, that video is a trip. Bob debates an ACLU leader. But whatever the question is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what's the evidence? The death penalty. Now, there's a video, God and the death penalty. So call our number. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. If you come up with a question, let's say your question is about predestination and free will. Someone is saying that you have free will to do whatever you'd like, and someone else is saying, no, we're predestined. Someone is saying you could believe or not believe in God. It's up to you. And someone else says, no, God chooses in advance who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. Well, those are topics that millions of people, Christians mostly, wrestle with. And so if you give us a call at 1-800-836-9278, if that's a topic that interests you, well, we have a Bible study album, audio tape album of a seminar called Predestination and Free Will. You'll love it or you get your money back. one 800 8 NYART 1-800-836-9278. Well, Zagif posted his reply to my first post. And with his second post, The Atheist at TheologyOnline.com responded to my first post. And so now we've completed round two in that I took his responses and then took the whole discussion further. And I'd like to bring you to my response, which is the second half of round two, because in my response, I deal with Zagif's answers. And so it sort of summarizes what he said. And of course, you could read his full response on the web. But I start out with a summary of my questions to Zagif and his questions to me and what answers we gave. And so I presented four questions to Zagif. And I'll go through them right now with his answers. Summary, right? Bob's question. My first question, Bob's question one, does truth exist? I asked him that. Does truth exist? Zagif's answer one, Zagif didn't answer, and he didn't clarify, but he asked me to clarify the question, does truth exist? He wanted to know, what did I mean by that? He said, what do you mean by truth? So I said, I will clarify. Truth is a statement of reality. Okay. And we talk more about that in the post, but that's so. My first question, he didn't answer. Second question, does absolute moral right and wrong exist? Zagif's second answer, Zagif didn't answer, but he asked me to clarify, so I did. An absolute wrong is a harm that cannot be justified, and we talk about that further on also. And I'll get to a couple others, but first let's take a call. In Colorado, 1-800-836-9278, has him in Lyman, Colorado. Has him?
Hello?
Yes. What's your name?
My name is Hashim.
Hashim.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Hashim.
Okay, basically, I heard you talk about the question, I guess, he posted, how you define God and what's your proof that he exists?
Yes.
And it sounds, you know, like a good question for a debate, and you had an answer for it that you put on the web, but I don't have a computer before me.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you can maybe kind of capitalize some of that, because, you know, I'm kind of enjoying what I'm hearing.
Sure.
You guys are touching on a lot of stuff that I rarely hear Christians talk about. The questions are asked, but I never hear any Christian shows discuss any type of answers to it. So,
all right. Well,
you guys are right in the right area. I mean, at least I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, Hashim, be happy to talk about that with you right now. His first question was, how do you define God?
Hey, I'm going to hang up because I'm on my cell, but I'll listen to your answer, okay?
All right, how are we coming in Lyman, Colorado?
You're on my cell, I can barely hear you, but probably you're coming in good on a regular. You're on the radio, you're coming in good.
Okay,
like,
well, that's great. Okay,
I'm
Hashim.
Time here.
All right, Hashim, we'll do it. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Mel.
Appreciate that. And Lyman, Colorado, how far away is that? 3 hours? About? 3 hours, that's a guess. And so, yeah, it's good to hear we're coming. We should be coming in, actually, nice and clear, even into Kansas and Nebraska. So, yeah, on our flagship station, 50,000-watt KLTT, AM 670 in Denver, a powerful station. Okay, the two questions Zaketh asked was, how do you define God? And then upon what evidence do you base your belief in this God? And I define God, this is my answer, it's on the internet at Theology Online. I define God as the supernatural creator of the natural universe, existing eternally, powerful, wise and knowledgeable, personal, loving, and just. Okay, and those are descriptions of God's key characteristics. Of course, if you describe your mother, you could describe her briefly or at length. And the same thing is true of most things. You could describe briefly or at length. And we could say a lot more about God, or we could say less. We could say he is the creator of the universe. And that would be sufficient. But I wanted to give Zaketh enough to get a very strong picture of God, the God that exists. So I define God as the supernatural creator of the natural universe, existing eternally, powerful, wise and knowledgeable, personal, loving, and just. And then his second question, upon what evidence do you base your belief in this God? And in this, my first post, I said, I present evidence only related to the creative, eternal, powerful, and knowledgeable aspects of God. In other words, in this post, I don't give evidence that God is personal or wise or loving and just. Just that he is eternal and powerful and knowledgeable and creative. And what evidence do I give to show those truths, those things about God? I give the evidence that the origins of both the universe and biological life require a supernatural creator. And I explain in the post how I come to that conclusion. Because there are only three conceivable ways that the universe got here. There's only three conceivable ways to explain the existence of the universe. Either it was always here, or it came into existence from nothing on its own, or it was made by a supernatural creator. Those are the only three possible explanations for the natural universe. That's it. There are no other possible explanations. There just aren't. In fact, in my second post, I asked Zaketh to respond to that there are only three conceivable explanations for how the universe got here. Only three. Either it was always here, or it came into existence from nothing on its own, or something outside of the universe created it, made it, brought it into existence. So, so now I want to get back to, and Hashim, thank you for asking that question. We'll continue talking about these issues as I get to my second post, where I'm giving a summary of Zaketh's answers to my questions and then my answers to his questions. Okay? So I asked him, does truth exist? And I gave examples in my post of truth. Whatever truth says, whether it says there is or is not a God, there is or is not anything, there is or is not a sentence here in front of you. Just, does truth exist? And Zaketh didn't answer that, and he didn't bother to clarify it, but he asked me to clarify the question by by asking me, what is truth? So I answered, truth is a statement of reality. And then my second question to him was, does absolute moral right and wrong exist? And Zaketh did not answer, but asked me to clarify. And so I did. I said he wanted to know what I thought an absolute wrong was, for example. So I said, an absolute wrong is a harm that cannot be justified. That's an absolute wrong. And then I asked him regarding the origin of the natural universe. I asked him if it had always been here, or if it came into existence from nothing, or C, if a supernatural creator brought it into existence, or D, other, or E, I don't know. And there can't be a D, other. He can't conceive of another possible way for the universe to come into existence. So I asked him that question, and Zaketh answered, E, I don't know. And then B, it came into being without cause. And then A tiny sphere of it was always here. Okay. So needless to say, in my second post, I asked him, I try to narrow that down. Three answers to how the universe got here are a bit too many. Okay, and so then question four, I asked Zaketh to explain, and I gave him a few options as to, since explain how biological life started on Earth. And I asked if he thinks the cell, a single living cell, came into existence from non-living matter, then explain how that may have happened. Or if he thinks that before the cell, there were life forms that existed before the cell, and that they somehow helped one another to live, and between these different life forms, they brought about actual functional life. But they were simpler than a cell. That's what a lot of atheists think. Before the first living cell, there were simpler life forms that helped one another to survive, but they were simpler. So I said, or you can answer this part of this question, explain how this life before a cell was simpler. In what way may it have been simpler? And I gave examples of what a cell does. And so what did that earlier life not do? And in what way was it simpler? So Zaketh gave, he mentioned things like a virus or prions, but he didn't describe any functional simplicity of how life could have been simpler than it is right now when it started, when it first started. And so so I call him to task on that and say, you were supposed to describe how early life could have been conceptually simpler than life is today. Because that's what you... Oh, and by the way, Zaketh chose to explain 4B, the functional simplicity of pre-cell life forms, and he didn't try to do that. He brought up a virus, but a viral system is more complex than a cell. So he didn't make things simpler. He made them more complex. Okay, so let's... the phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Then he asked me a total of 9 questions, and while he avoided answering my questions, I directly answered all 9 of his questions. Well, one of his questions was a bit off topic. But so after this break, we'll get to those answers. NYART. This is a live commercial break, and that's our phone number for calling into the show or for our order line our order desk. And we're not, Bob and Yurt Live, we're not a huge ministry here. In fact, we're a pretty small operation. And I get to pastor Denver Bible Church. People who come to the church, they become friends. And it's neat to have such, you know, such families and individuals at Denver Bible Church that people really desire to know God, to understand the Bible. And you could be a part of that if you'd like. You're more than welcome to join us at Denver Bible Church on Sundays. Or if you live out of state, then please visit the church website at denverbiblechurch.org. Or you can consider signing up, getting a subscription for the monthly sermons. Once a month, we mail out the sermons that we do at the church to people around the country. And you might enjoy that. That is $24.95, includes shipping and handling. And if you put that on a credit card, then every month, automatically, you'll get a shipment of sermons coming to your door. Of course, some people prefer the Bible study albums, which once a month for $34.95 a month, we ship out a Bible study album. Typically, they have six tapes in them, sometimes fewer, almost always six or more. And $34.95 a month, you get Bible study albums, one album a month, which is just around about the right pace to listen to a book of the Bible every month, teaching on the Bible or issues like Genesis creation or the fall of Adam and Eve or the flood, Noah's flood. And how about predestination and free will or the last days and healings and miracles? So many interesting topics we cover in our Bible study albums. Or you could call up and order just one album, the number 800-8-N-YART. one 800 836 9278. So those were the questions I asked Zaketh. And, you know, two of the most brilliant scientists of the past century, Hoyle and Crick, both just an astronomer and a molecular biologist. The biologist shared a Nobel Prize for discovering DNA. But these two guys, outstanding, world-renowned in their fields, when they realized how complicated DNA is and how it could not arise by natural processes, they both proposed to the world separately, not together. They both wrote their own books on this, that DNA must have been planted by aliens. Planted by aliens. Because there's no way it could just start on Earth. It's too complex. It's too ridiculous. DNA, a living cell, what's more complicated? One cell in your body or the space shuttle? There's no comparison. There's nothing mankind has ever created or at right now. There's just nothing comes anywhere within a light year of the complexity of a living cell. And so some think it was the first life on Earth was planted here by aliens. But the problem is they haven't answered the problem. They only pushed it off a generation. How did the life begin on Alderaan? How did the life begin on some alien planet? So they didn't solve the problem. They just pushed it away. And by the way, are there aliens? Are there aliens? Is there sentient life on other planets? Well, the Bible says that God created Earth. He created man for his glory. And we sinned. We rebelled against him. And so God's only Son became a human being, came to Earth, and died for us. Died for us to pay for our sins. And then he was resurrected from the dead and returned into heaven, never to die again. The Bible is very clear that he is never to die again. So that if God did create other life forms on planets, aliens, then of course there's a possibility that those aliens would rebel against God also, and that they may sin. But if that happened, then Jesus is not likely to suffer all that and die again. He's not likely to do that, because he's told us, and God the Father has told us, that Jesus did that once for all time. He'll never do that again. He'll never suffer and die like that again. So not very likely that there are aliens. You know, Captain Kirk goes up and he's not going to find all these people to interact with, whatever they look like. But let's get now to Zaketh's questions to Bob. He asked 9 of them so far. The first 2 I answered in my first post. How do you define God, and what evidence do you have that God exists? And then his third question, will you provide proof that God was in attendance at and responsible for the alleged creation of the universe? And I answered yes. And I said that my answer is developed below, and see where I've highlighted Bob's answer 3. So in a couple places, I highlighted Bob's answer 3. And where I highlighted that was where the universe, the natural universe, either has always been here, or it came into existence from nothing, or it was made by a supernatural creator. And where I argue that those are the only 3 possibilities, there are no other possibilities. There are no other possibilities. If you think there's a 4th option of how the universe got here, well, then please go on to theologyonline.com and send Zaketh an email and let him know, because he's desperate right now to find a 4th option of how the universe may have come into existence, or how to account for its existence. He's desperate. But there's only 3 possibilities. There is not a 4th. And if the first 2 possibilities can be shown to be impossible, if you can show that 2 of the only 3 possibilities are impossible, then the 3rd must be the true possibility. It must be the thing that actually happened. And so, by the way, at the end of this 2nd round, I ask Zaketh to answer true or false. There are only 3 conceivable explanations for the existence of the universe. I ask him to answer true or false to that. And if he answers false, then I say, please explain and list. So we'll see what he says. That'll be interesting. Because usually you can't get an atheist to answer that question. Usually they don't answer questions. Usually. Direct questions. But we're in a moderated debate with hundreds of people looking in. So we'll see what happens. Okay. Oh, and also I gave the proof that God exists when I argue that biological life is so complicated that it cannot develop by natural processes. I'm not saying that we don't know how it did. I'm saying that it cannot. And if Zaketh wants to say that it can, because he said before the cell, there were simpler life forms. So I asked him, I gave him a list of the functions that biological life has to accomplish. And I asked him to simplify that list. And which of these functions would the first life forms on Earth, which would they have not had to accomplish? Like, would they have had to process raw materials? Would they have had to somehow separate themselves from their environment, like some kind of a barrier? Would they have had to manage complex chemical operations? Would they have had to repair themselves? Would they have had to reproduce? Which of these things would the early life have had to do? What would they have to do? And if you could simplify the functionality, then show us how. Maybe they wouldn't have to reproduce, and that would be a lot simpler. But that's not going to work. Maybe they wouldn't have to process raw materials, but that's not going to work. So because they have to accomplish so many fundamental functions, biological life is irreducibly complex. It cannot be simple. It can't be simple. And so that's my other proof for him that my God was there when life on Earth was created, because it cannot come about by natural processes, because it's required that it be wildly complex. Okay, so then he asked me his fourth question, what is your definition of truth? And I answered, a statement of reality. A statement of reality, all right? Like churches have a letter of churches have a statement of faith. Businesses will give a letter of intent. And truth is a statement of reality. Statement of reality. Okay. Now, question five. What do you mean by absolute right and absolute wrong? So I answered an absolute wrong. I answered half the question, because the more words we use, the more just the more opportunity for them to obfuscate. But I answered an absolute wrong is a harm that cannot be justified. An absolute wrong is a harm that cannot be justified. And justified by what? Well, we talk about that later in the post. But by the demands of justice. For example, if a woman commits a petty theft, it would be absolutely wrong to execute her for stealing a slice of bread. Why? Because the demands of justice, one of the demands of justice, is that punishment be equitable, that punishment be fair, that it be equitable, that the punishment fits the crime. So if a woman steals a slice of bread and you execute her for that, then that would be an absolute wrong, because you have not met the demands of justice. An absolute wrong is a harm that cannot be justified. Okay, his sixth question to me, Zaketh's, if your deity is so aloof, then how do we study God to understand and learn about him? So he asked, if your deity is so aloof, then how do we study God to understand and learn about him? And my answer is, my definition I gave you of God does not imply that he's aloof, and you learn about him through his creation. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. This is a commercial break, and our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. It not only gets you into the program, which airs Monday through Friday, Mountain Time, 7 to 8 p.m., but also it gets you to our order line. And let me tell you about the order line. In 12 years on the air? 12 years on the air, we've produced almost 40 Bible study albums and 25 videos and a manuscript called The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible, 330 pages. And we've done these in response to topics that come up on the show and questions that people in the audience have. For example, folks so many times have asked about healing and miracles, healings and miracles. And so we put together a 12 audio tape album on that topic, healing and miracles. And it's called Details Galore. And in that album, now tell me if you think this is different than a typical study on miracles in the Bible. We go through every single miracle in the whole Bible. We list every miracle that occurred in the story of the Bible, and we talk about that miracle and what we could learn. What is the dynamic of miracles occurring in society and in a person's life? And it will blow you away. It will blow you away. Now, if you're interested in that topic, I recommend listening to the Plot Bible study album first and The Tree, because they'll lay a better foundation. Miracles and healing, it's a big topic in the Bible. There are hundreds of miracles in the Bible, but it's a good idea to first get an overview of the whole Bible, the story of the Bible. And The Tree talks about the struggle of the Christian life and how to successfully live the Christian life. And then details galore, going through every healing and every miracle in the Bible. At any rate, you could go to our website and look at what we cover in those albums at kgov.com, kgov.com, or call our order desk, 1-800-836-9278. We're back, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-Yart, 1-800-836-9278. Okay, so Zaketh's on the web at Theology Online, the Battle Royale 7, Bob and Yart versus Zaketh on Does God Exist? His seventh question, how can we distinguish between a God who doesn't want to get involved and a God who doesn't exist? How can we distinguish between those two? So Bob's answer number 7, I tell him how. How can we distinguish between a God who does not exist and a God who just doesn't want to get involved? How could we tell? And the answer is this: by science confirming a requirement of a supernatural creator for the origin of the natural universe, with mankind finding no evidence of God's subsequent intervention. That's how. That's how. If mankind found no evidence that God has intervened, then we would see that there was a God who doesn't get involved. But if science confirmed a requirement that God must have created the universe because it could not have created itself and it couldn't have always been here, then I've answered his question. That's how. I have to assume he couldn't think of a way. All right, question number 8. How do we know the God we are studying is the correct deity? And that question actually is out of bounds for the debate, because the question is, does God exist, not which God exists? So if we prove God exists, it doesn't matter which. But so here's my answer, Bob's answer 8. If we prove the existence of God, then we could look for evidence of his nature. And when you find evidence of his nature, then you look and see, well, which religion has a God with that nature? And if we can show that the nature of God is as Allah is described in the Quran, then you'd find out, well, Allah is God. Allah, by the way, was the moon god in Mecca. 1,000 years ago, they had, over 100 gods in Mecca, pagans, and the name of the moon god was Allah, and Muhammad went with that as the name of the true God. Whereas in the Bible, God didn't give his name because all these pagan gods were out there, all these pagan names, and God didn't do that, so he didn't give his name until Moses asked him. This is a couple thousand years after he created the earth and mankind. And Moses asked God, what is your name? And God said, I am that I am. That was neat. And then in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. That's wild. Okay, so at any rate, If we prove the existence of God, then we can look for evidence of his nature. And since we're already having some difficulty, I wrote to Zaketh, since we're already having some difficulty responding to each other on basics, and that's because of my four questions. Three, he didn't answer. And the fourth, he gave, it was a multiple choice, and he chose three. And you were only supposed to choose one. So that was the question he answered. And the other three didn't answer. So at any rate, I said, since we're already having some difficulty responding to each other on basics, I'd suggest we keep focused on the existence of an eternal creator. So then Zaketh's question nine, his last question so far, why has God chosen to play hide and seek with the universe? Why not make his existence irrefutably obvious? That's what Zaketh asked. He said, why has God chosen to play hide and seek with the universe? Why not make his existence irrefutably obvious? And my answer to that was, he has made his existence irrefutably obvious. If not, refute the creator by winning the debate. He does not play hide and seek, and further demonstrations of his existence would be counterproductive. Daily miracles could easily produce a stubborn immunity to God in yet more people. Let me run that by you again. In fact, you learn this in our album on miracles and healing. At Bob and Yurt Live, we have an album called Details Galore, where we look at every single miracle in the Bible, hundreds of them. And we look at the reaction of the community to the miracles. What's the reaction to these 300-plus miracles? How do people respond to them? And how do the people who experience the miracles respond to the miracles? And so what we learn is that daily miracles could easily produce a stubborn immunity to God, a rejection of God in even more people. That's what happened in the Bible. When the prophets did miracles, the people wanted to kill them. When Moses did miracles, God did them through Moses, the people hated him and rebelled against him. When God did all the miracles in Egypt, the people in Egypt hated God. When he did all the miracles for the whole nation in the wilderness for 40 years, the whole nation hated God. Jesus did all his miracles, and they tried to throw him off a cliff in Nazareth. And they rejected him in Capernaum, where he did most of his mighty works. They rejected him. And in Jerusalem, they shouted, "Crucify him." So daily miracles could easily... Now, Zaketh's question was, why doesn't God make his existence irrefutably obvious? And my answer was, he has done that. But if you're asking for daily miracles, that would be counterproductive. Daily miracles could easily produce a stubborn immunity to God in yet more people. And even if dead celebrities were resurrected, most people would not believe, because when the truth is shoved into someone's face, the human tendency is to shove back. Now let's dig in. So I said, okay, that's a summary of the Q&A. Now let's dig in. And I started with old business on truth, because that's how I started. My first post was, does truth exist? So on truth, I have Bob's question one, BQ1, does truth exist? And then ZA1, Zaketh's answer one, which also happens to be Zaketh's question four, what is your definition of truth, Pastor Enyart? And Bob's answer four, truth is, you just answered my question with a question. Truth is a statement of reality. And then I quoted Zaketh in my answer to his question four here, that Zaketh wrote, what is true for the Muslim is not true for others. What is true for the Christian is not true for others. What is true for the Jew is not true for others. And so the way I responded to that was, what is true in the above is that you listed three different belief systems. Zaketh, if you can't admit that is true, then how about this? What is true is that you presented three bullets. If you can admit that, even taking just that baby step, then we have a starting point, and then you will have fulfilled my request to know if you believe in or can accept or even just admit to truth. That's it. That's all I want from you. Does truth exist? In the future, I write to Zaketh, if you feel a basic clarification is needed, please offer one, as I will, to save the readers an iteration so we don't have to go through a whole you post, I post, you post before we get to an answer and get us closer to the heart of the debate. But Zaketh, I had already clarified my definition of truth in my original post sufficiently enough to answer your bullets. When I wrote this, quote, if no God exists, then humanity has wasted a lot of time and we could have been pursuing truth. If no God exists, what a waste, because we could have been pursuing truth. So that makes it clear, Zaketh, that I am not presupposing the existence of truth means I win the debate. In my experience, many atheists are hesitant to accept truth, any truth. And the way you handled this, as I expected you would, reinforces theist suspicion that atheists react almost as though they fear truth. Or perhaps you just overlooked my comment, indicating that at this point in the debate, that truth could conceivably indicate that God does not exist. If no God exists, then we should have been pursuing truth. But in a debate on this topic, in my first paragraph, how could my opponent miss that? So again, I hope you acknowledge truth. Besides, admitting truth wins you the bonus of trying to show that theism is truly false. It's tempting, no? So for my first question in my second post, I sadly repeat my previous first question. I ask you again, Zaketh, does truth exist? What do you think out there in Radioland? You think the atheist will answer the question this time? You think he'll answer the question, does truth exist? Or do you think he's really afraid of truth? You think he's really afraid of truth? You know, I'm curious. I do not know which way he's going to go on that. But it's my question number one. And he knows that if he doesn't answer it, it's going to be a glaring Bob's question number one, Zaketh didn't answer. He knows it's going to be there. And all eyes at Theology Online are on Zaketh to answer my first question. Does truth exist? So it'll be fun, and we invite you to participate in the grandstands at TheologyOnline.com. Of course, you can go to our website, KGov.com, where Bob and Yurt Live is archived indefinitely, KGOV.com, and you can listen to past shows. They've all got titles to them. When we've debated or interviewed people, you could check it out. Just read the titles of the show. But then from KGov.com, just click on over to Theology Online, to Bob Debates an Atheist. We'll have a lot of fun. This is Bob and Yurt remind you to do right and risk the consequences.